now we come down in verse 21 to a very colorful individual. And you have here the worship of faith. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Now, actually, you could say of both Isaac and Jacob that worship did constitute the same thing that constituted their father Abraham. But here it says he worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. Now, this man Jacob lived a life of faith, actually in relationship to his father and to his son, Joseph, and to his grandsons. And that is made clear here. The one thing picked out of his life is when he was dying. You've got to wait till you get to the end of this man's life before you can say that he's a man of faith. But at that time, he blessed both the sons of Joseph, they were his grandsons, and he worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. Now, there's several things that can be said concerning him. You have here what I'm sure is an illustration of human nature. And it reveals that by grace are ye saved. If it had not been for the grace of God, Jacob would have been lost. He had no human merit, none whatsoever. And I'm not sure but what that's a picture of all of us today. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. It is said of Dr. Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission, that when he was out on the mission field, a new missionary arrived, he and his wife, and Hudson Taylor had a way of emphasizing the fact that you're nothing. You and I before God, we're nothing. And God is the only one that can take nothing and do something with it. And finally, the young fellow came to Dr. Taylor one day and said, "You know, it's difficult for me to think that I'm nothing." Dr. Hudson Taylor said to the young man, he says, "You're nothing. You can just take God's word for it. You don't need to believe it yourself. Just take God's word for it." Now, this man, Jacob, is a picture of human nature. And we hear today a great deal in psychology about prenatal care, natal care, and postnatal care, and how important these are in the life of an individual. The gynecologist and the psychologist gives a lot of emphasis to prenatal care, natal care, postnatal care. Now, prenatal is before birth, and natal care is the birth of the individual. The postnatal, of course, is after birth. Now, what can be said of Jacob? Well, it is said before he was born that the children struggled within her. Jacob, even at that time, was wrestling, trying to get the upper hand. And then at the time of the birth, he's still struggling. He came out last there, but he held on to the heel of his brother. He was a heel grabber. And he was that all of his life. And then you have the postnatal care, and that's after birth. And Jacob was a deceiver. He was a rascal. And in our study in Genesis, which was a long time ago, many of you that were with us at that time recall, I'm sure, the emphasis that I put at that time upon the fact that he was a rascal, and that God, though, did transform his life. Now you have, first of all, in the life of this man, faith and relationship to his father. Well, he was a deceiver. God had promised him the blessing, and he couldn't wait. He had to take it by very deceptive methods. And then you have faith and relationship to his son Joseph. He was deceived in that connection. He was not the deceiver there, but he was deceived. And you will recall that this man, Jacob, go back in his life. He left home. He spent that night in Bethel, very homesick, but no change had taken place in his life at all. And then you find out that he got down with his uncle Laban, and he's still using his wits. And then God had to stop him when he finally returned back to the land, and God wrestled with him that night at the brook Jabbok. And that night, why, God crippled him. He had to get him. And then you see, therefore, that the very thing that he did, the sin he committed, now comes home to him in this boy Joseph. Joseph, his brethren, brought that very bloody coat of many colors and said to Jacob, "Is this the coat of your son? Do you recognize it?" He began to weep, but the very way in which he had deceived, he was deceived in relationship of the son. The sins of the fathers are visited upon the children, and this is certainly an example of it. Now you see faith in relationship to his grandsons, and that was Manasseh and Ephraim, the sons of Joseph. And that's what is picked out here in the Epistle to the Hebrews, and it's not until you get to the end of the man's life, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, he's on his deathbed, and now here is the first thing that you can lift out and say now, by faith Jacob. He blessed both of the sons of Joseph, and he worshiped, and now for the first time, but it's too late, there'll be no obedience in his life. And the thing that's always interests me, he worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. What was that staff? Well, you remember he'd been crippled. And that staff enabled him to walk. Even when death came, this man who'd been a deceiver and all of that, he still wants to go. He did not want to lie down and die. And now you can say this of the man. There's no blessing in the life of Jacob. It was a life of sin and deception, chicanery and crookedness, and no blessing can ever eventuate from sin. I think that we as a nation have been humbled now in several places. And why? Because we as a nation have not been a good leader for the world. We are no leader at all. We need a leader. And then the second thing that can be said here, and this is the important thing for you and me, God can take any life and straighten it out. Where there is confusion and deception, if there is faith, and there's no merit in faith, faith is not our Savior. The faith must be anchored in Jesus Christ, and it's what enables us to lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have here faith operative in the life of Jacob, but you have to come to the end of his life.